Well, when our family moved to Ecuador in 2006, there were many things to think of. We're trying to raise support with churches. We were trying to get quality time with our friends and our family before we left. In many ways, that we just seemed like we were preparing for the whole year for what was going to come next. And much of it, I think, is still a blur to us as to what happened that year. We just had our first child. I just finished Bible college. We needed a way to write newsletters and communicate with people. We needed paperwork for visa applications. We needed to carry bags and carry our luggage and get bags for that luggage. We needed a camera. We bought clothes that we thought we may need, and then we found that they were there. And the list went on and on. So many things to get ready. And many of you know that when you move countries, there's a lot to think about. A number of you here have done just that. What do we take? What do we leave behind? What's going to be available where we're about to go to? The list goes on and on about what we need to prepare. There's lots of preparation that needs to happen when we move countries. And I think when I think about that, I think it's a lot like being a follower of Jesus. As we read the Bible and we try and serve Jesus, there are many things we need to do to be prepared to serve him. Many of us have jobs where being a follower of Jesus is challenging, and we need to be prepared to stand up for Jesus. We may even be tempted to just let down our guard and on some areas of our walk with Jesus and just not think about it. And the question I have for you today is, then what do you do to resist temptation? To make sure that when you're being tempted to forget what the Bible says and do your own thing, how do you equip yourself and make sure that you're ready to say yes, I'm ready to resist temptation? Now, last week we were reminded that our relationship with God is based on what God has done for us. And what he's done for us, we then live in obedience to him because of what he has already done. Now, we're continuing through Deuteronomy, so I don't want you to forget that piece that we heard last week, okay, of what he's done. But today, as we continue through Deuteronomy, we see that Moses prepares the people to face temptations as they enter the land. Moses wanted the people to live wholeheartedly for God, but today we see specifically that he prepares them for the temptations that they'd face. Now, at this stage, it'd be really good for you to have a Bible open, because I'm going to be flicking through a few pages in Deuteronomy chapter 6 to chapter 8. We'll be looking at a few different passages. And it might be handy just to get your bulletin out as well, because the outline's a little extensive today. But don't worry about that. It's all there for you so that you can take it home and remember where we've been through this passage. Now, the overall message of these three chapters that I'll give to you today is that we need to be prepared for temptations that are going to come to us. There are a few temptations that the Israelites will face through this section, and you can see them listed in the outline. And so let's hit the first one. So the first one we see there is that the Israelites might be tempted to be greedy and self-confident. Somehow that's gotten mixed up in that list. I apologise for that. Anyway, the first one we're going to look at is that the Israelites might be tempted to be greedy and self-confident. Look at chapter 6, verses 10 to 12, and I'm going to read that for us. Now, when the Lord your God brings you into the land he swore your fathers, to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, to give you a land with large flourishing cities you did not build, houses filled with all kinds of good things you did not provide, wells you did not dig, and vineyards and olive groves you did not plant, then when you eat and are satisfied, be careful that you do not forget the Lord who brought you out of Egypt, out of the land of slavery. Now, the idea here is that the Israelites will take over a land that is plentiful and ready for harvest. There's water, there's houses, there's everything they need, even plants. It seems like they won't need to do anything. And Moses reminds them that when that time comes that they go in to take over the land, and everything is provided, don't forget the Lord. Don't be greedy and take what you can from others. Don't be self-confident and believe that you don't need God anymore. And we can see how they might be tempted to think that way, can't we? To be tempted to think that, well, we have everything we need, so why do we need God? See, that's what temptation is, isn't it? To be tempted to ignore God and rely on self. And Moses warns them, don't be tempted. Now, the next thing we see in that list of things is that the Israelites might be tempted to ignore his commands. We see this in chapter 6, verses 13 to 19. And in the face of everything being given to them, there'll be the temptation to ignore the commands of God. And that's why in verse 17 of chapter 6, he says to them, "Be sure to keep the commands of the Lord your God and the stipulations and decrees he has given you." Now, this is a bit of a repeat from last week. The Israelites are about to do some amazing things with the help of their God. And the temptation will be to remove the people from the land, but then fail to follow God's commands. It seems like the way to combat this is in verse 13, where he says to them, "Well, fear the Lord your God and serve him only, and take your oaths in his name." In other words, don't turn away from God when things are going so well, but follow his ways, follow his commands, and this is how it's going to go well for them in the land. Moses knows that it won't be easy to listen to God when things are going to go so well for them, but don't be tempted to ignore God in the face of prosperity. Now, the next one there on our list is actually B, the next temptation we see is related because in the face of all this prosperity, the Israelites may be tempted to ignore the past. And it says in verse 20 of chapter 6 that when your children ask about the rules and stipulations, this is what you are to say. See, what's going to happen is there'll come a time when these children will hear the commands of God and they will not understand why they should follow them. They will have everything they need, life will be good, and they'll ask, why do we need to serve God as well when we have everything we need in front of us? And so Moses says to them, remind the children of what the Lord has done so that this nation, so that they don't forget who brought them to where they are. Now, the next temptation the Israelites may face is to follow other gods. And we see this in chapter 7, 1 to 6. And this section talks about the total destruction of the nations they're going to take over. The reason that God told them to do this was to preserve the Israelites' desire to serve him. Now, God knew they'd be tempted to serve other gods if they left those idols and the worship of other gods around them and mixed in them. So Moses says, well, get rid of any other god and make their allegiance and take their allegiance away from them. The Israelites were the special nation chosen by God. And you can see that in verse 6 of chapter 7, where he says, "For you are a people holy to the Lord your God. The Lord your God has chosen you out of all the peoples on the face of the earth to be his people, his treasured possession." And when they entered the land, the temptation to serve other gods was going to be great. So Moses reminded them of the temptation they'd face and told them to destroy anything that would be tempting to them. Don't make treaties with foreign nations. Don't intermarry. Because if they do, well, we see what will happen in verse 4. It says, "They will turn your sons away from following me to serve other gods, and the Lord's anger will burn against you and will quickly destroy you." See, serving other gods was one sure way that they would become the object of God's anger. And so Moses told them, don't be tempted to serve these other gods. Now, we've looked at four temptations so far. We've got three left, so hang in there. The next one we see is that the Israelites may be tempted to be afraid. And we see this in chapter 7, 17 to 24. Now, it starts in verse 17 where Moses says to them, "You may say to yourself, these nations are stronger than we are. How can we drive them out?" See, when doubt enters their minds, they may fail to trust that God can do what only God can do. And in this case, it's God who'll destroy the nations before them. He will do it. But in the middle of fighting and seeing people larger than them, the temptation would be to forget God. Forget that God can do it. And to begin to fear the people and not fear God. So Moses reminds them who God is, what God can do. And from verse 17 all the way down to 24, we see that it is the Lord who will do it. It's the Lord their God who will drive out the enemies. It is the Lord who will deliver them into the hands of the Israelites. All of it is the work of the Lord. This is not their doing, so don't be tempted to be afraid because of the size of your enemies. But remember that the Lord will do it. And in the middle of this section, there's a great reminder of who God is. Look at verse 21, where he says to them, "Do not be afraid, do not be terrified by them, for the Lord your God, who is among you, is a great and awesome God." And Moses reminds them, God will do it. So don't be tempted to be afraid, because your God goes before you. Now, in the next temptation, we see that they might be tempted to covet idols, gold and silver. We see this in chapter 7, 25 and 26, and I'll read this one for us. It says, "The images of their gods you are to burn in the fire. Do not covet the silver and gold on them, and do not take it for yourselves, or you will be ensnared by it, for it is detestable to the Lord your God. Do not bring a detestable thing into your house, or you, like it, will be set apart for destruction. Utterly abhor it, abhor and detest it, for it is set apart for destruction." Now the Israelites were to take control of the land, and they would be riches throughout the land, statues and idols, and the temptation for the Israelites would be to take it for themselves, to take these idols and use them for their own good. And Moses says to them, "Well, all this wealth is not for you. It is to be destroyed because it belongs to the nations who were wicked and did detestable things in the sight of God." Now it uses the word ensnare there in verse 25. Now this word is also used in verse 16, and it has the idea of something being like a trap, taking the people away from their primary objective to serve God and take them down the road of riches and greed. And that's a trap. And so Moses says to them, "Well, get rid of the trap." The reason they're to get rid of all this gold and riches that will be before them is that it will become a trap for them, taking them away from serving God and following him and his ways. Destroy the things that will trap you. Now we've come to the last temptation that Moses warns the Israelites about, and this time he reminds them that they may be tempted to rely on prosperity and on self, on themselves. Now we're looking at chapter 8, verses 1 to 20. Now in this section, Moses tells them that when everything is going well, that they should remember all they have is from God. He warns them that when they have their houses and food and everything all laid out before them, that temptation will come to take them away from God. And he warns them in verse 14 that their hearts will become proud, and you will forget the Lord your God who brought you out of Egypt, out of the land of slavery. So it's a warning that when everything looks good, that they'll be tempted to think that they did it themselves, which is what Moses says to them in verse 17. He says, "You may say to yourself, my power and the strength of my hands have produced this wealth for me." See, Moses is concerned as they enter the land that they'll forget the Lord and forget that he did all this for them to bring them into this amazing land. And so in verse 18, he says to them, "Remember the Lord your God, for it is he who gives you the ability to produce wealth and so confirms his covenant, which he swore to your forefathers as it is today." See, in the face of great success, there's the temptation to rely on self and in your own prosperity. And Moses said to them, "Don't let your success hide the truth. It was God who did this for them." Now, temptation is a powerful thing, and Moses knew this. God knew this. And it's the reason there are so many things laid out here for the Israelites to realize that going into the land, there's a great risk of them forgetting what God has done for them. See, all of these things that Moses brought before them were helping them to resist temptation. When things go well, they'd be tempted to ignore God and forget what he's done. And so Moses gives them a warning that the Israelites needed: to remember God in the face of great success. So how does that apply to us today? It's a great reminder for us to be prepared in the face of temptation, isn't it? Now, the best example for us is to look at Jesus himself and see what he did in the face of temptation as we think about how we can be prepared to face temptation. And so what I want you to do now is I want you to open your Bibles to the book of Deuteronomy, okay? And I want you to keep your Bibles open to Deuteronomy, because I'm going to read some parts of the Bible in the New Testament, and you're going to look at the Old Testament, and I'm going to read the New Testament. See, I want you to see what Jesus does in the face of temptation and how he uses this passage that we're looking at today to help him. So in the Gospel of Matthew, we have the scene where Jesus is in the desert. He's been in the desert for 40 days. He hasn't had food or water. He's been fasting. And then the devil comes to him. And in the first temptation, the devil told Jesus to turn the stones into bread. And Jesus responded with these words from Matthew chapter 4, verse 4. And I want you to look at Deuteronomy chapter 8, verse 3. So Deuteronomy 8, verse 3, and I'll read Matthew 4, verse 4. And Jesus answered, "It is written, man does not live on bread alone, but on every word that comes from the mouth of God." Can you see how Jesus used the encouragement from Moses to avoid being tempted? He uses the very word of God against temptation. Now we see it again when he responds to the devil luring him to jump from the mountain, then the angels will catch him. I'm going to look at Matthew 4 verse 7, and you're going to turn back to Deuteronomy 6 verse 16. Deuteronomy 6 verse 16. Matthew 4 verse 7 says, Jesus answered him, "It is also written, do not put the Lord your God to the test." See, again, Jesus uses these words from Moses to say no to temptation. And then in the last temptation of Jesus, when he's asked to bow down to Satan, he responds with words from Matthew 4 verse 10, but you can look at Deuteronomy 6 verse 13. Jesus said to him, "Away from me, Satan, for it is written, worship the Lord your God and serve him only." See, Jesus uses these very words from Moses to defend himself in the face of temptation. Jesus turned to the word of God to help him to defend himself against temptation. He reminded himself of what obedience to God's word looked like. He was prepared in the face of temptation, and as a result, he put temptation in its place. Now, Jesus showed us that knowing God's word can help us in the face of temptation. In fact, knowing that Jesus faced temptation and didn't give in means that those of us who are united with Christ through his death can also say no to temptation as well. See, when we're faced with temptation to do the wrong thing, it's good to know that we can choose to actually do the right thing, to be obedient to God. Doesn't mean we're always going to be successful. Probably not. Does it mean we give in to temptation? Absolutely not. When we look throughout the New Testament, what we see is a call for the follower of Jesus to become like Jesus. See, in Ephesians 4, Paul talks about or says that the benchmark of spiritual maturity for all believers is to be like Jesus. 1 John 3 also tells us that we should aspire to be like Jesus, and we desire to be purified as Jesus is pure. That's a very strong calling, isn't it? To be like Jesus. So this message from Moses to the Israelites is as much for them, really, as it is for us, isn't it? Followers of Jesus are called to resist temptation. Now, the temptation that the Israelites faced was one of forgetting God in the middle of success. They'll face distractions as they come in to this new world. There'll be an abundance of blessing, and Moses reminds them not to take it for granted and forget the God who gave it to you. Now, I'm sure when you look around the church here in Wurrunga, there are a lot of successful people around us. Many of us have houses and cars that we've worked hard to purchase. Some of us have businesses that are successful. Some of us are still reaping the benefits of our parents who had successful businesses. Many of us have our own home. And none of this is wrong. But what I see here in the passage is that we need to make sure that our wealth and our success and our good fortune don't ensnare us or become a trap so that we forget our great God. It's a good reminder for us, isn't it? It's the reminder, I think, that we all need to hear. That the only reason we have what we have is because God has given it to us. And the warning is, don't be tempted to forget that God has given it to you. You are a steward of the wealth that He's given to you. This was the warning from Moses to the people. Don't forget God in all the prosperity. And Australia is a prosperous nation. Very few people in this country struggle to get food on their plate. And in the middle of all this prosperity, the reminder is, don't forget God. We need the reminder, don't we? We need this reminder that Moses gave to the Israelites in Deuteronomy 7:7-8. Again, in the middle of this passage, full of warnings about forgetting the Lord, that they're reminded of who the Lord is and what He's done. Look, I want you to turn to chapter 7, verses 7-8. And it says there, "The Lord did not set His affection on you and choose you because you were more numerous than other peoples. For you were the fewest of all peoples. But it was because the Lord loved you and kept the oath He swore to your forefathers that He brought you out with a mighty hand and redeemed you from the land of slavery, from the power of Pharaoh, king of Egypt." See, this nation wasn't chosen because of their special abilities or their special powers or because of their wealth. See, what we see here is that the Lord loved this people because He chose to love them. He chose to keep His covenant with them. He'd made a promise to them, and this is God keeping His promise. And this is the same promise we have when we are in a relationship with God too. See, through faith in Jesus, we know that the Lord has set His affections on us. So when we're tempted to be greedy or self-confident, tempted to ignore His commands, tempted to put Him in second place, tempted to covet the things of our neighbours, or tempted to rely on ourselves or even be afraid, we can stand secure knowing that if we're in a relationship with God, we're in that relationship because God has established that relationship, and therefore we can face temptations and we can be victorious. We can be victorious because of who God is. And we just need the reminder that He is bigger and stronger than any temptation we face. See, this isn't about the urge to resist eating a block of chocolate or a tub of ice cream, is it? Now, we're not talking about a resolve to do something or a resolve not to do something. Because being prepared to face temptation means we need to know the God who saved us. We need to know that with His help, we can overcome temptation. So we know that knowledge of His word helps us as we face temptation. And it's trusting that He can help us do it. He's given us His Spirit. So we've been equipped with the Lord of heaven and earth to overcome temptation. As a disciple or as a follower of Jesus, we need to prepare to say no to sin and yes to Him. To trust that God is stronger and He can do it. And so I want to encourage you today to be watchful for temptation. To continue reading your Bible so that you can be prepared in the face of temptation to say no. Just like we saw Jesus do. See, all these things that we've seen today continue to be relevant for us because we're at risk of being swept up into society to live just like everyone else, when in fact God calls us to be separate. To be in the world, but not of the world. See, this whole passage has been about preparing us to face temptation with knowledge of who our great God is. Do you know the God who saved you? Are you prepared to face temptation? Well, let's pray. Oh, Father God, we thank you for your word, for the way it pushes us to live wholeheartedly for you. Lord, we ask that you give us a greater knowledge of yourself so that we can trust you and your ways and have the strength in the face of temptation to rely on you and your word. Give us your strength and help us by your Spirit. In Jesus' name, amen.